Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. We greet you today in the grace, peace, joy, and love of God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love to the family. Thank God for his love that we can share with one another. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Listen, you don't need any special talent, any musical gifts to make some noise. Come on, let's make some noise to the glory of God. Today we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, the high holy day of the church when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The debt has been paid. It has been accepted by God. And now everyone who has an opportunity and takes the responsibility to ask Jesus Christ into their life as Savior and Lord can know that new life in Jesus Christ. And we're so grateful and thankful for all of you who are present. Those of you who are watching wherever you are in the world, I want to thank you today for the privilege of your time. Thank you for being with us. Remember, you're not watching to make us a big church or me a big preacher. We're here to help you become the biggest and best Christian you can possibly be. And we want to pour into you so that those of you who need Jesus can come to know Jesus, and those of you who know Jesus can grow in Jesus so you can help somebody else come to know the Lord. This past week was an exciting week as we celebrated Holy Week, the movement of Jesus from his triumphant entry into Jerusalem all the way through the cross at Calvary on Friday and the resurrection on today. Our children's ministry celebrated on Wednesday night, and man, our children did an absolutely tremendous job in their Easter program. Yeah, so we do our children's program on Wednesday night, so that way all the meemaws and the pawpaws and everybody can come, and they don't have to miss their own church on Sunday, amen. And man, our children did an absolutely tremendous job, and we want to thank God for our children. This past week, we had to say farewell to one of our longtime members, Sister Irene Price, just a blessing, a sweet, sweet lady. Would light up a room with a smile. She just had this flair about her, and she went home to be with the Lord, 99 years old. She went home to be with the Lord, and we celebrated her life with her family. And then on yesterday, I had an opportunity. That was on Friday. On yesterday, I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with Pastor Sloan. Pastor Sloan's mother, Sister Annie Mae Sloan, went home to be with the Lord, and myself and Deacon Nay Robinson and Reverend Leotis Jones were there, and so we got a chance to fellowship. I get on the plane, I figure I'm going to fly in and see Reverend Sloan, and I get on the plane, and they on the same flight. I said, what y'all? I said, oh, wait a minute, I know where y'all going. I know exactly where you're going. And so, yeah, but we got a chance to fellowship with Pastor Sloan and see him. He and Marshall and the family are doing real well, and so we're going to continue to pray for him. He's actually going to take some time now in the States checking on some of those who are supporting him. He's supposed to be in Houston in a couple of weeks, so we'll make sure that we hear from him when he comes in the town. Amen. But he and his wife are doing a great work. Rooted and Grounded, make some noise! Man, we are so excited as we get ready to kick off our spring Rooted and Grounded session. For those of you who have been part of Rooted and Grounded, listen, you're just getting started. Remember, it's not enough to make a commitment to be a disciple of Jesus. That's a great start, recognizing that you are a disciple. But now the question is, are you going to make disciples of Jesus? Remember in Matthew 28, I love the New Living Translation because the New Living Translation says, and Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples. So once you become a disciple, you recognize you are a disciple. Now it's your responsibility to make more disciples and shift from being a consumer to being a contributor. Shift from being a spectator to a participator, recognizing that you have a divine responsibility to help somebody else come to know the Lord. Registration for groups ends tonight at midnight. Now, for those of you who are watching, wherever you're watching in the world, you can register and be a part of a group. You might say, wait a minute, Pastor, how can I be a part of a life group at Good Hope and I don't live in Houston? It's real simple. We have virtual groups that are meeting all over the world. On our last sessions, we had people from Houston, from Chicago, from Kansas City, California, Florida, Dallas, Louisiana, Virginia. We had people all over the country, and we would love to see you be part of this. We've had people as far away as Senegal, West Africa, and in Brazil. So we would love to see you be a part of our group. We've been all the way out to the 50th state, all the way out to Hawaii. So we would love to have you be part of our life group ministry so we can help pour into you and help you become all that God wants you to be. I want to encourage the men. All the men say, oh! All right, I need to encourage all of the men. Y'all got a little slack on me. We got to jump in. We got to jump in. I need to get you. There are two groups that are for men only. Two groups that are for men only. One purpose-driven life group, one rooted group. I need to encourage all of the men, those of you who are watching men-only groups, if you want to jump in, man, I want to see you jump in and be blessed by it. We've got a testimony this morning from a very, very special man that I've known all of his life. Let's hear our testimony today.
Hello, everyone. I am excited to share with you my experience with Rooted and Grounded. For me, like so many others, you really find yourself wearing a lot of different hats. And with all those different hats, you have different expectations, whether for me it's being a dad, a husband, a son, an attorney. And the outside world really not only weighs down on you, but makes you put on this shell. I didn't realize how thick that shell, that armor I had put on, was until I joined a Rooted and Grounded group. And just talking to other men in my group about their personal experiences and kind of the things that they've gone through that were very similar to me really allowed me to kind of relax, to kind of clear my head and clear space for me to get closer to God, to learn more scripture. And I mean, it's interesting because I was even self-conscious as a pastor's kid. You know, I mean, I was afraid people would expect me to know, you know, the Bible backwards and forward. And that wasn't the case at all. I think it's something that everyone will benefit from, because at the end of the day, having these spaces to be you and learn more about you and your relationship with God is really what life is all about. So guys, I encourage you, absolutely get off the fence if you are about whether or not I should join a Rooted and Grounded group, especially a guys group. It is a great space, a great place to learn and make some new friends and brothers in Christ.
Yeah. Appreciate that testimony. That's my youngest son, Brandon. And I was thinking back, man, when we got here in 1994, he was just, 5 years old. And to see him now be 35 this year, man, it's been quite a run, quite a journey, and great to see the man that he has become. Let's go to God in prayer and ask God's blessings on our time this morning as we look to encourage you around this resurrection theme today. Father, we bless you and we thank you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say, that it will be pleasing in your sight, that it will bring glory and honor to you. May you be glorified. May your people be edified. May the devil be horrified at the life-changing, life-giving word of God as it goes forth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So one of the things that I've learned about the Word of God is it's a living word, and it speaks to us wherever we are at that moment in life. So, for example, if you're not at a place where you have any specific needs, you can rejoice in the truth that my God shall supply all your needs. And you can say, yes, that's right, preacher. But man, when you are in need, and you hear a word like that, you're like, I know that's right, right? Takes you to a whole nother level. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. All right. So here's what I've learned. I've learned that whenever God is trying to speak to you, he's trying to challenge you to move to the next level in your life. Not that you haven't moved already, but God is saying, listen, I'm not finished with you yet. I'm not through with you yet. I have even more that I want to do. How many of you can identify, for example, at least one area in your life where you would like to do better? How many of you can identify at least one area in your life, right? Nothing necessarily deep, although it may be deep, but at least one area in your life. Like if I had a private conversation with you and I said, what area in your life are you struggling in? What area of your life do you want to turn the corner in? What area of your life do you want to do something greater in? What would that area be? For somebody, it may be professionally. You may say, man, you know, Pastor, I really wish I could get that promotion. I really wish I could grow in my company or find a company I could grow in. For somebody else, it may be relationally, right? You're like, man, I wish I could just get this love thing right one time. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I could find somebody that I could build my life with, or I wish I had the relationship with my spouse that was mutually uplifting and edifying and building. For somebody else, it may be a personal area that you want to do better in. You're identifying, for example, strongholds that you would like to overcome. So whether it's fear and frustration or guilt and shame, maybe it's anger or bitterness, or maybe it's control issues. You say, man, Pastor, I wish I could overcome this area in my life. I wish I had the focus to stay with it. I wish I had the power to succeed. See, most of us, when we think about our lives, it's not a lack of desire that keeps us from really being successful. It's the lack of an ability to make the choice and then stay with the choice we make, right? In other words, a lot of people start, but they don't finish. I mean, listen, we have started New Year's resolutions over and over again. Some of y'all don't even need to come up with a new list. just hit replay, hit ditto, right? Put up the same list again. It's not that we can't start. The question is, how do we have the focus? How do we have the power to not only make the right choices, but to sustain the choices that we make? Here's what I've learned in life. The power of positive thinking doesn't really work when you're dealing with overwhelming negative thoughts, right? This idea of envisioning a better future, you know, they'll have you sit in a room and envision what will happen, but it's hard to envision what will happen when you can't see past the pain of your past. Somebody will testify that willpower is only good when you have power in your will, but when your will gets weak, you're in trouble. Paul said it like this, the spirit is willing, but I got a problem because the flesh is weak. So how do you make the shifts and changes in life to help you really get to that next level? Now, here's what I need you to understand. Very rarely do you go from 0 to 100, right? Like, you got to go from 0 to 10. I was flying in from Baton Rouge last night, and y'all, I think I had the pilot from hell. Can somebody say real talk? So here's what happened. First of all, I get on the plane, and I start having these crazy thoughts because all of these young ladies get on the plane and I find out that they are the Stanford volleyball team. So I don't know who they were playing, probably LSU, right? But they're on the plane. So now I'm thinking, Lord, please don't let this plane crash. And they start talking about the tragic plane crash and the Stanford women's volleyball team dies in the plane. You know, right? Because I'm like, this is only an hour and 30-minute flight, right? So can we just go up here? And then when we take off, I thought I was on the shuttle, y'all. I thought I was on the shuttle because this dude went like, woof. I mean, I felt G-forces, man. I'm like going back in my seat leaned back without me pressing the button. I was like, man, what is this dude doing? Then when we landed, it was boom. It wasn't no glide. You know that boom, boom, you know, just kind of slide. No, yeah, boom. I was like, good God, man, what's going on? Folks started talking about, I'm going to complain. I was like, no, listen, I'm just grateful. I'm just glad. Let me just get off this plane. One of the guys said, man, I hope he's not the pilot on my next flight. I said, I hope not for your sake either. Now, I'm saying all that to say, even in that flight, right, I didn't go from zero to 30,000 feet in 1 second. Kind of felt like it. But I had to make progress. And so for somebody in here today, you want to go to that next level, and you've got to make progress. And you might have some ups and downs along the way. You might have some bumps along the way, but you want to continue to make progress. Everybody say progress. Today, for a few moments, I want to revisit a message entitled, The Power to Become Great for God. The Power to Become Great for God. Now, for somebody who's listening today, this message is going to be very appropriate because you're struggling right now with some areas in your life. You're struggling in some areas where you want to grow, where you want to develop, you want to mature, you want to become what God wants you to be, but it's not happening real easy. And part of it is because you are trusting in your power and not in God's power. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching, you can download our outlines, find them on our app, go to our website. You can fill in the blank on the PDF outline and follow along with us. In our text today, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, beginning at verse, really throughout that first chapter, is praying for believers. Those of you who are grammarians would call this a run-on sentence. It's one of the longest sentences in the New Testament. But Paul is literally praying for believers. He is talking to them about his hopes, his dreams, his aspirations, his desires for them. And then he wants them to know that they have something available to them to help them to fulfill their potential in the Lord. Look at verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. And then he begins asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. He says there are too many of us, children of God, who are walking around like the rest of the world, trying to discern what God wants from us and for us through human eyesight. He says, no, I'm praying that God will give you divine insight, that he will give you spiritual wisdom and insight. Verse 18, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. The New King James translation says, I pray that God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. He says that you may know. I've had people say to me, Pastor, you are so lucky. I mean, you say this years ago, and I say, why do you say I'm lucky? Why am I lucky? He said, because you know exactly what God wants you to do. I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm still trying to discover what God wants me to do. And Paul says one of the things you need to do is learn how to pray and ask God. Watch this. Here's what I've learned. My wife and I were talking about this morning. There are a number of distractions in life that will keep you from focusing on what God wants you to do. And there are many of us who chase distraction after distraction only to end up at the end of the day, the end of the week, the end of the month, the end of the year, frustrated because we feel no further along to doing what God has called us to do than we did before. He says, you got to pray that the Lord will open up the eyes of your understanding. And then he gets to this powerful point in verse 19 where he says, let me tell you how you can do it. He says you can do it because God's power is available for you. So here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, we're talking about the power to become great for God. Number one, you need to realize God has all the power you need to become great for him. God has all the power you need to become great for him. Ephesians 1, 19, the A part, the New Living Translation says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. Stop right there. That you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. Now, when Paul shares this, you kind of see it, but you really may not get it by looking at the English translation. Paul says God's power is so great that it's beyond great. You ever talk to somebody and they say, no, for real. And you're like, okay. And they say, no, for real, right? Because when they say for real, then you're supposed to know they really being for real. For real. You understand what I'm saying, right? Paul says, I need you to understand the incredible greatness of God's power. The word power there is the word dunamis. It refers to miraculous power and ability, a might, a strength that can only come from God. But watch what he says. He says it's incredible. It's surpassing. It's exceeding. It's unlimited. And then he says the incredible greatness. That word for greatness means mighty explosiveness. It's beyond measure. Megathos is the word. It's where we get the word megathon from, which measures atomic explosives. It's this great explosive power. And then in verse B, 19B, he says, this is the same mighty power, the power that overcomes resistance. This word is only used of God, never of believers. But Paul says, even though it's God's power, he makes it available to those of us who are believers. He says this power is so overwhelming. He puts all of these words together to kind of let you know, man, that God's power is like immeasurable. It is supernatural. It is divine, and it is available. It's like describing somebody, and you say, oh, she's beautiful. And then somebody says, no, she's gorgeous. He says, no, man, she is beautiful. She's gorgeous. She is absolutely stunning. She is amazing. And if they start using enough adjectives, you finally say, who is this woman? Right? Like, this must be the mother of all women. This must be Eve that they're talking about. Paul mentions four manifestations of God's power. Look at verse 20. That raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. First, he says, this is the same power. Everybody say same power. This is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Some of y'all may have been trying to figure out, how is he going to get to Easter in this? How is he going to get to the resurrection? Here's what Paul says. Paul says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's available to raise you. Now, here's what I need you to understand. When Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, he was talking to believers. So this is not a message of salvation, even though it does take the power of God to save you. He is talking about now, how do you go to that next level? How do you become all that God wants you to be? Secondly, he says this was the same power that seated Jesus at the right hand of God in heavenly places. He said the same power that raised him is the same power that set him at the right hand of God the Father, where he intercedes for us every moment of our lives. Thirdly, he says God's power in Christ is seen in his placing all things under Christ's feet. In other words, Jesus is made, recognized as having authority over all creation. And then That's in verse 22, verse 8, when he says God has put all things under his authority. And then in verse 22b, he says he has made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. He says God's power has put Jesus Christ over the church. Jesus is the head. But watch this, not over a building, over people. If you get nothing else today, here's what I need you to understand. Those of you who are watching, here's what I need you to understand. Every time the word church appears in the New Testament, the Bible is not talking about buildings or campuses. It's talking about people. And when God talks about making his power available, he's not making it available for a group of people. He's making it available to individual persons. He says his power is available to you. Look at Jeremiah 32, 17. O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Luke 1, 37, let's read it together. For nothing is impossible with God. It may not be possible for you, but nothing is impossible for God. You sounded so good. Let's read Matthew 19, verse 26 together. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Even when you look at your life and you're ready to throw in the towel because you can't see yourself going another further. Paul says the power of God, this miraculous, incredible, intense power that can only be attributed to God is available to you to help you change your life. Here's the second thing. I told you, number one, you need to realize God has all the power you need to become great for him. Here's number two, you need to realize God wants you to use his power to change your life. God wants you to use his power to change your life. Verse 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power. The incredible greatness of God's power for you, and this is the same mighty power that raised him. So my pastor used to tell me, he said, DZ, you need to find a restaurant that becomes yours. And I said, what do you mean, a restaurant? I don't want to own no restaurant. He said, no, you don't have to own a restaurant for it to become yours. He says, find a restaurant that you love going to and just go there. Every week, if you don't do nothing but have a cup of coffee, man, just go there and get to know the waiters and get to know the waitresses and get to know the supervisors and the managers and the owners. He said, and when you walk in, it's like cheers. They say, hey, pastor, how you doing? And they know what you want before you order. They say, would you like to get this again? And you start having small talk, and it becomes your restaurant even though you don't have to pay any bills there. He said, have your meetings there, right? Stay there for the morning. Have a breakfast meeting. Have a mid-breakfast meeting. Have a lunch meeting. He said, just make it your office and make it your spot. He did that on one occasion. The old Four Seasons in Philadelphia, if you've ever been to the old Four Seasons, not the new one now, the new one, nah, but the old one, oh, man, it was classic. And man, he was in there because he used to always go there. He'd just go park his car. He'd just go in there, have lunch, whatever. And he'd have meetings down there and whatnot. So he's in there one day, and William Shatner is in there, Captain Kirk. William Shatner's in there, and he's sitting on the side. But all of the waitstaff are running over to take care of my pastor. And they're always, how you doing, Dr. Lusk? What's going on? How you think the Eagles going to do? And he's talking to everybody, man, because he loved to schmooze like that, right? He had that gift. And so he's talking to everybody, and the manager come over. And finally, he said, William Shatner got up and came over to him. He was getting so much attention. William Shatner came over. He said, excuse me, sir, what do you do? Who are you? But he made it his own place. Here's what God says. You don't have the power, but you can make my power your power. Now, can I tell you something? Most of us are so busy trying to develop and display our own power that we lose sight of the fact that, number one, our power is not as good as his power. And number two, his power is available to us. Like, why not use his power? Y'all, I slipped up in that Four Seasons one time and walked up in there, and because Pastor had put me in there. I was up there preaching for him. He put me in there to stay, and I gave him my name, and they were like, okay, nice to meet you. How you doing? And I said, I'm Dr. Lusk. Oh, Pastor Lusk. Oh, absolutely. Come on in, because I was going to use his name, y'all. My youngest son, Brandon, you just saw him. Brandon figured out something that his two older siblings have not figured out yet in life. If you know my son, Marcus, you know Marcus looks like me. Like, Marcus can't walk in a room and somebody not say, you related to DZ Cofield, right? And Marcus has a presence about him. But Marcus has worked really, really hard not to be my child. Now, you look like me, you carry my name, and when somebody says, is DZ Cofield your dad? Yeah. You know, he walked in the registrar's office at TSU when he was taking classes there, and it's like, oh, you're Dr. Cofield's son. He's like, yeah. My youngest son, oh, he gonna use that thing. And he does it so cool, he does it so smooth. He goes on his prom day, so all of the boys, right, they meeting all the girls at this one house, and he's going for his prom date, and of course, you know, the fathers are there, and they're drilling everybody, and so they're going down the line drilling the sons, you know, like fathers do, right? You want to know what your intention is tonight on this prom night, like their intention was any different than your intention on that prom night. But anyway, they're going down the list, going down the line, so they get to him, and one of the fathers says, son, what's your name? And he says, Brandon Cofield. He said, Cofield. He said, is DZ Cofield your father? Absolutely, yes, sir. Come on out of this line, son. Let me talk to you. I said, boy, you're going to leverage that thing. He said, absolutely. You work too hard for this thing, Papa. I ain't going to waste it. Listen, using your power results in limited temporary change. Because you are dependent upon a limited temporary power source, namely yourself. See, when God raised Jesus from the dead, look at A. We got the power to raise Jesus. Christ shows that God has the power to conquer anything that has held you back in life. When God raises Jesus and he says that power is available, he says anything that has conquered you in life can be overcome by my power. The stuff that you have claimed you have to live with, the stuff that you have claimed as your person and or your personality, Jesus says if you really want to change, if you really want to become great for me, the power that raised me. You know why resurrection power is so amazing? You know why we celebrate the resurrection? It's not just because of what Jesus has done in the past for us. It's what his power can do right now for us. Second Corinthians 12:9 says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power, this is God talking, works best in weakness. Paul says, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Because when I boast about my weakness, that's when the power of God shows up. Romans 8:37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. B, the power to raise Jesus Christ shows that God has the power to help you do anything you want to accomplish in life. It not only will help you conquer your past, but it will provide a path and the power you need to be successful in your future. Romans 6, verse 4, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. See, the good news is God makes his power available to change your life. But here's what you have to do. You have to make the decision to change your life. You've got to make the decision to change your situations, to change your circumstances, to change your mindset, to change your actions and your attitude. He says you got to make a decision to make that change, but you can't do it without the power of God. And here's what I've learned in life. So many times in life, we pray and we ask God to change other people. Well, normally, actually, we start off by saying, Lord, fix them. Well, no, actually, we say, Lord, get them. Right? We say, Lord, get them. Don't act like I'm the only one. You'd be like, now, Lord, you know what? Because you'd be waiting to say, you know, that karma is a, well, you know what karma is, right? Yeah, you'd be waiting to say that. Yeah, God, go on, get them, God. Yeah, you know, so-and-so's having a hard time. That's what they get after what they did to me. But how many times do we pray and say, Lord, change me? Jesus said, it's easy to see the toothpick in somebody else's eye, but you don't see and own that California redwood tree in your own eye. He says, can you look in the mirror and ask God to fix you? I had a woman who called me and she said, Pastor, she said, I know you know a lot of attorneys. She said, I wanted to know if you'd recommend an attorney to me. I said, okay, for what? She said, get a divorce. I said, wait, whoa, what? What do you mean, get a divorce? So she started telling me all the stuff that was wrong with her husband. Now, y'all, I was born at night, not last night. And so as she's telling me all the stuff that's wrong with her husband, Brother Jenkins, I'm listening to her, and she's telling on herself why she's telling me what's wrong with him, right? And so as she's telling, I'm just taking notes. And I said, now, here's the problem. And I started pointing out her stuff. She said, yeah, but I called it. I need a divorce because I'm talking about what's wrong with him. I said, no, let's talk about what's wrong with you. I said, now, here's my commitment. I said, I'm not going to give you an attorney to get a divorce. I commit to counsel and work with you. I'm going to work with you, and we're going to help you live in such a way that the Bible becomes true in your life. And she said, what do you mean? I said, because the Bible says, Peter says, he can be one without a word. He said, the problem is you get given too many of your words, and you think your fussing is going to get him in the kingdom, and it's not going to work. Right? So we're going to help you live in a way that your life will speak so loud that he'll hear God speaking through your life. So for months, man, I would call, check in on, she'd call me. That's why it's hard. Come on now. We're going to work on you. And eventually, just I never talked to him, just talking to her and working with her, he began to change. And just recently, I heard that he would never go to church. Never go to church. He didn't like preachers. He didn't like church. He didn't like nothing about church, God, or nothing like that. He was in his own made up religion, right? And then I just got word that he went to church with her. He said, I think I'm gonna go to church with you. And stuff that she wanted him to do for years, he started doing voluntarily. And then she said, Pastor, something wrong. I said, what do you mean something wrong? Why something wrong? Because it can't be that easy. He's doing stuff. I said, well, maybe if you just trusted God. Because watch this. How many of you know God's power can move a whole lot faster? I was preaching this week on Wednesday at University of Houston, and a lady walked up to me on fire for Jesus. On fire for Jesus. Married her husband. Her husband was a Christian. She was a devout Muslim from Pakistan. Now, y'all, 20 to 25 churches a month get burned down in Pakistan. 20 to 25 churches a month by Muslim extremists get burned down a month in Pakistan. Folk kill their family. Today, folk kill their family members if they come home and say they're a Christian. And I asked her, I said, how did you become a Christian? She said, my husband was not allowed to witness to me at all. If he said one thing to me about Jesus, that was grounds for divorce. And she said, for 13 years, he and his family prayed for me. And I had no idea they were praying. And one day, God answered their prayers. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. They never said a word to me. All they did was pray. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to realize God's power is only available when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. God's power is only available when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Verse 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. That word believe means to place confidence in, to trust, to put reliance upon. Now, here's what I need you to understand. Remember what I said. Paul is writing to believers. So there is a sense for those who may not know Jesus that you need to believe. But there's another deeper sense to this. It's not just to those who believe salvifically, but it also pertains to those who need to trust him and believe in terms of our commitment to the Lord. See, there are some of you in here who have believed him for salvation, but you don't believe him for life and living. So you said, Lord, I want you to save me so my life will be secure in heaven, but you're not trusting him to move on your behalf on earth. That's why it's hard many times to tell Christians and non-Christians apart. Because on earth, they look, act, talk, and walk the same. And they think being a Christian just means I have a different eternal destination. And God says, no, you've got power available to you. The question is, will you trust me? Will you believe me? See, for those of us who believe, God takes his power and extends it. He presents it. He makes it available, accessible, and applies his power to anyone who would believe. This believe is more than just salvation. It's about surrendering and submitting to the Lord. This belief is about dedication and discipline. It's about what God wants to do in your life. I need somebody in here to know as I get ready to close that resurrection power is available for you right now. For somebody who needs Jesus Christ in your life, the Lord says you don't have to walk around powerless anymore. You have access to power available to you right now. But for somebody else who knows Jesus and you are still walking around powerless, he says, let me remind you, the power is available for you. That the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power that sits him on the right hand of the Father, the same power that gives him authority over all of creation, the same power that makes him the head of the church, the same power that raised him is the power that's available to change your life. And part of the reason is because the power that's available to change your life is not just to change you on the outside, but to change you on the inside. See, if you don't change your belief on the inside, you won't change your behavior on the outside. Let me just go here because the Holy Spirit has put this in my spirit. That's why you've been seeing the same person over and over, even though it's been a different person each time. Listen, it's been a different name, but the same person. Different shape, different size, same person. And you come up with all kinds of old crazy stuff. You know, people come up with all kinds of crazy stuff. There's somebody that's watching right now. All kinds of crazy stuff. I don't deal with dark skinned men. I don't deal with light skinned women. Right here. Oh yeah. Yeah, you come up with all kinds of stuff. Here's the problem. When you choose from an unhealthy place, you're gonna end up with unhealthy results. I was talking to somebody the other day, man. They're telling me all of the problems they done had in relationships. And I was like, you do know you're the only one that's in common with all them bad relationships. You do know that, right? You are the common denominator. You do realize that. If you don't change how you think, you won't change how you act. But even changing you on the inside is dependent upon the power of God. That's why when we get to the day, preacher would say he died. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died until the earth reeled and rocked. He died until graves opened and dead men walked. Some of y'all don't even understand the story. Maybe I need to say it like this. Some of y'all may remember. He died. Y'all remember the preacher would get to the end of the sermon. Oh, he died. Didn't he die? But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. All I'm trying to tell you is the power that raised him is the power that's available to you right now. It's the power to clean you. It's the power to change you. It's the power to keep you. It's the power to place you. It's the power to raise you. It's the power to pick you up and turn your life around. I want you to leave this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, ready to celebrate the power that's available to you. Whatever it is, listen, whatever it is you're dealing with, if your problem is not bigger than a dead Jesus in a borrowed tomb that needs to be raised from the dead, if your problem is not bigger than the dead Jesus, my old pastor would say, then God can handle your problem. We used to sing an old song that said, have you any rivers that seem uncrossable? Have you any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in those things that are impossible. Have I got a witness here anywhere? Can one or two people testify that he specializes in those things that are impossible, and he can do what no other power can do? And the writer said, Holy Ghost power can do. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. We thank you for the ability to celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, your power. Your power that not only raised Jesus, your power that raised us in terms of salvation, but your power still available to raise us and take us to the next level in life and living. We pray now, God, that we would not only recognize your power, but that we would receive the access that you're giving us to your power, so that our lives from this point forward would never be the same. Help somebody today to make that decision to say yes to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.